We're doing Ein Yaakov, and we're up to the beginning of the seventh chapter in Brachot. The Mishnah tells us, we're up to page Ein Vav Amud Beis in the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov. In the Talmud, that would be Daf Mem Hei. And the Mishnah says, Shlosha she'achlu ke'echad chayvin lezamin. If three people ate in unison, they have an obligation to do Zimun. What is Zimun? So, Zimun is when people ate together and they want to unite in their benching. Everyone's getting together to bench together. Now, this goes back to the days in the time of the Talmud when they didn't have printed material. Anything you had written was handwritten. So not everyone knew benching by heart. So what do you do if you don't know benching by heart? You don't have a bencher. So what they did was one person would bench. He would say, gentlemen, let us bench. And they'd say, okay, let us bench. May God's name be blessed forever. And then he'd begin benching, and he'd say it out loud. He would say the Birkat HaMazon, the benching, the grace after eating, he would say out loud. And they would just listen and say amen at the end of each blessing. And that was the way that they did benching for the masses. If you ate with other people, if you ate alone. So hopefully if you didn't know how to read your wife or your child, someone else could tell you benching and you'd say word for word after them. The idea of Zimun is that we unite and he says it on behalf of all of us, that we just say amen. If we don't have Zimun, so he says, and I repeat word after word after him, because I got to say my own benching. But if I have a Zimun, so then one person could say benching for all of us. Let's say he ate, he partook of the meal, and then he's going to bench for himself. He could also bench for me, right? Zimun is also someone who partook of the meal. But Zimun was an organized way of doing it. Where we declare at the beginning that he's saying it on behalf of all of us. Today, we all know how to bench. We have Sidurim, we have printed material. You don't know how to bench in Hebrew, you bench in English. You have Art Scroll. Until you learn Hebrew, you do it that way. So today, our Zimun is not like their Zimun. And our Zimun, the guy leads benching, and then he just says his blessings out loud, and we say Amen after his blessings. But our Zimun is no longer like theirs. The Rush writes that in his generation, 700 years ago, they couldn't focus. You know, a guy's going to say the brachos all out loud. People aren't going to follow. So they changed the way it's done. We all say our own benching. We also have a printing press. Things are, people are more educated. We all know how to read more or less. Our Zimun is different. Yes, Yoel. I prefer collecting them so that way we have them for next week. But if you want to take notes and you want to hold on to yours, you could. Right. Yeah. If that's helpful, you could do that. Yes. Okay. Now, it's also available on HebrewBooks.org. Okay. They have 10,000 books that they scanned into there, so this is on there too. So you could get a free copy if you want. Okay. Minahani mili. So the Gemara says, where do we get this whole concept of Zimun from? Amar Ravasi. Now, Ravasi was one of the Amoraim, one of the rabbis in the period of the Talmud, who lived in the land of Israel. He was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Asi said, "The Amar Kra, for the verse says, Gadlu Lashem itiunu homim ha-shemo yachdav. Let us together in unison exalt God's name." So we have this concept that we can all unite in the exaltation of God's name. So he's talking to the plural. Gadlu Lashem iti. Together with me, you the plural. Gadlu. Gadlu means gadol, is big. Gadlu, let us exalt, let us uplift, make big the name of God's name. But it says gadlu in the plural, you too, plural. And I, that's three. So here we have the concept that three in unison can unite in the exaltation of God's name. We know there's a concept of minyan. You could have 10 people in unison exalting God's name. We say Kaddish in 10, we say Kedusha in 10. We have that concept. Where do you have this? Where do the rabbis get this concept from? That three people can unite as a unit in the exaltation of God's name? That's this Pasuk in Tehillim. King David taught us this concept, that he turns to two others and say, in unison, let us exalt God's name. Where else do we have this concept, that three people unite in the exaltation of God's name? In the Hallel. We said Hallel now, Rosh Chodesh. We say, Hodu Lashem Kitov Ki Lolam Chasdo. That part of Hallel, at least for Ashkenazim, should be said with at least two other people. If you don't make it to Minyan, you should get two other people with you. You say, Hodu Lashem, and they respond, Hodu Lashem, because what are you saying? Hodu, give thanks, plural, you too. Hodu, like Gadlu. Hodu is plural. So in Hallel, if you're going to say Hallel alone, you should at least get two people to stand next to you for that part of the Hallel, where we say, Hodu Lashem Kitov, and then they say, Yom HaNa Yisrael, ki lolam chasdo, hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki lolam chasdo. We have four sentences of praise of Hashem. Each time we conclude with saying hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki lolam chasdo. You guys know what I'm talking about? So that part of Hallel, again, you're referring to the plural, to at least two people, and saying, give praise together with me. So ideally, you should have three people present. If you're standing alone, you could say Hallel alone, if you don't have that option. But the ideal way is to say it with a minion. If you can't say it with a minion, at least that section should be said, where two people respond to what you're saying. Rabbi Avu Amar, we're up to the third line in the wide lines. Rabbi Avu said, Me'acha, the source for this concept is a different verse. Moshe Torah, in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I call God's name, Havu Godel Elokeinu, you give greatness to Hashem our God. So again, he says, Havu, Havu is plural, he's talking to the plural, minimum two, you too give greatness together with me. So we see this concept that you don't need a minimum of a minion to give praise to Hashem. There are times when three people together also form a unit that can give praise to Hashem. Amar Rav Chanan Barabba, minayin laone amen shelo yagbia kolo yoter min amvarech. Rav Chanan Barabba taught, how do we know this halacha, that the one who responds amen should not raise his voice more than the one making the blessing? This is halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You hear someone making a blessing, your amen should be on the same volume as the one who made the blessing. Now we have to know that the answering of amen is not only I agree. When I declare amen, I'm saying it's true and I agree, but there's more to it than that. The amen is an extension of the blessing itself. Let's say I'm davening Shmone Esrei. So I'm a speed reader. You guys know I like reading quickly. So I'm going to say Shmone Esrei. Baruch Ta Hashem, Magen Avraham, Tagibah L'Olam Hashem. Before you could say amen, I'm already into the next blessing. You can no longer say amen. Because your amen is the extension of my blessing. If the chazan is not pausing for you to say amen, you cannot say amen. Because you have to. The amen is the extension of his blessing, and if he's already going on to the next blessing, you cannot say amen. Let's say you're all guests in my house, I'm making hamotzi or kiddush, and I finish kiddush, I take a sip. The truth is, I shouldn't take a sip till you finish saying amen. I shouldn't start cutting the challah till you guys say amen. And not only that, the halacha says that when I make a blessing, it's not enough that I have intent for the bread. I have intent. I'm making a blessing on the bread, which will encompass the whole meal. Baruch atah Hashem lokeinu melech haolam ha-motzi lechem min ha-aretz. Says the halacha, I have to have in mind to focus on your amen. It's not enough that you focus on my blessing and you say amen. I have to focus on the blessing and focus on your amen. That's an extension of my own blessing. Only when you finish saying the amen, may I start slicing the challah. And your amen is the extension of my blessing. So just like I have in mind to say the blessing on your behalf, you have in mind that your amen is on my behalf. The amen is a ratification of what I've said. And so is the truth. Amen. This is the truth. And I have to have in mind that your amen is the continuation of what I'm saying too. You guys with me? So the Gemara says this whole idea of the amen is the extension of the blessing, and the amen should be on the same volume as the one who is making the blessing. And where do we know this concept from? Shneimal, we'll get to you in 1 second, Evan. As the verse says, Gadlu l'Hashem iti unro mashmo yachdav. Let us all in unison together make God's name great and exalt God's name. It's in unison, so it should all be on the same volume. Yes?
It comes from the word emuna, or no connection?
Oh yeah, it is connected. Emuna and amen comes from the idea of emet, and to ratify, to declare it as being true, I agree to it. Okay.
So amen doesn't just mean I agree, it means...
I validate it. I declare its truth, yes. Where does the word amen first appear? In the Torah. It says when they make the sota agree to the vow. They tell her, do you agree that you never cheated your husband, and if you did, you should be cursed, etc., etc., etc. The woman says, amen, I agree. The word amen appears in the Torah already.
But is it also come from Echad, Shema?
Kel Melech Ne'eman, amen. There is a connection, there's some sort of connection, yeah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, You guys know the story behind Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi? He heard that if you learn Torah, you get rich. So he came and applied to the academy. And then he came to the rabbi after a few weeks. He said, you know, I'm learning and I don't see my bank account growing. Didn't you tell me if you learn Torah, you get rich? So the rabbi had meant, in a spiritual sense, you'll get rich. He asked him, the only reason you want to learn is to get rich? So he said, yeah, that's what you said, that's what I did. So he said, okay, so you keep learning, we'll see to it, you'll get rich. One day a guy comes to the yeshiva and says, I want to fund someone who's learning. I have all this gold, I want to give it. So they call in Rav Shimon ben Pazi and they say, look, this wealthy individual, he wants to give you some of his money and you give him the merits of your Torah. So he says, great, that's what I'm here for. Okay, great. They make the deal, he gives him the money, he continues learning Torah. After a period, he becomes big in learning Torah. He comes back to the rabbi and says, wait a second, I was stupid. I had the greatest thing in the world. I had Torah and I gave away the merits for money. How could I do that? Let me out of the deal. Let me out. I don't want to stay in this deal. And that's why they called him Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Paz is precious gold. So he was Rabbi Shimon, the son of gold, because gold is what got him to be the rabbi. Initially, he started learning for the sake of the money. Later on, he became bigger and he realized that it's a bad deal. Better stick to your Torah. He got out of the deal. That the rabbi convinced the wealthy person to take his money back and give it to the poor. And Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi continued learning Torah. He became the great Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So he taught, Minayin shenam targem rashai lagbea kolo yoter min hakore. How do we know that the translator should not raise his voice more than the one reading? In ancient times, the custom used to be, in the times of the Talmud, that when they'd read the Torah, they'd have a mitargim, someone who would quote the translation in Aramaic. And the Yemenites still do that. You go to Yemenite shuls around here, right, Yonatan? Yeah. Yonatan goes to Yemenite shuls. They still do that. And then you could understand that reading the Torah takes twice as long, because every pasuk has to have a translation read. So it takes a long time. So if you're the one translating, how do we know that the translator should not raise his voice more than the one reading in the Torah? Shneimar, as the verse says, Moshe yidaber v'alokim yanenu bekol. Moshe would speak and God would reply with the voice. What does it mean with the voice? Matanud lomar bekol, bekolo shel Moshe. Means God would reply on the same voice as Moshe. God's reply to Moshe would be on Moshe's level. So you see that when we're dealing in Torah, the one who says, the one who replies, the one who translates, so to speak, should say it on the same level. So Moshe can't talk on God's level. God can talk on a much higher volume. So God, who taught the Torah, kept it on Moshe's level, so that when Moshe would repeat it, it was all on the same level. So that's this idea, that the translator should maintain the same level as the one who's reading. Tanya Namihachi, we have a Braisa in the same vein. Enam tagem rashai lagbia kolo yoter min hakoreh. The one who translates may not raise his voice more than the one reading the Torah. And if the one translating, he doesn't have as much volume as the one reading in the Torah, what do you do then? So then, just like God did, God was teaching the Torah, Moshe was repeating it, so God lowered his voice to equal Moshe's voice. So then the one reading from the Torah should lower his voice and read in the same volume. Okay, now we're up to Daf Mem Vav. Story, Rabbi Zera Chalash. Rabbi Zera was weak, he got ill. Al lekabei Rabbi Avu. Rabbi Avu came before him, he came to visit him. He sees that his friend is really, really sick. So, kabilalei, so he accepted upon himself the following. He says, imitpach katin achar ichsakei, avid na yom atav al rabanan. If Rabbi Zera gets better, so then I'll make a holiday for the rabbis. I'll make a party. I'll make a festive meal in honor of the rabbis. If Rabbi Zera only gets better. Itpach. So Rabbi Zera got better. Now Rabbi Avu has to keep his word. Avitzu data lechulu rabbanan. They made a meal for all the rabbis. He made a party. They're all making a party. They're celebrating the fact that Rabbi Zera didn't pass away, that they were granted, that this fine sage remained with them. Kimata lemishri, when came the part of the meal when they would ordinarily sing, Amrule Rabbi Zera lishri lanmar. So they said to the rabbi, Rabbi Zera, now that you're better, sing us a song. We're at your party. We're celebrating that you're all better. Sing us a song. אמר לו, לא סביר עלי למר, דאמר, להד אמר רבי יוחנן, בעל הבית בוצע? I'm sorry. They weren't yet up to the song. They were up to the breaking of the bread, the beginning of the meal. So they said to Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi, you break the bread. Why don't you begin the meal? So he said to them, wait a second, didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach that the host should break the bread? And the idea is that you're the host, you'll give them a nicer portion than they'll feel comfortable taking for themselves. So the host should cut the bread. This way I'll give everyone a nicer portion. The same thing when the meat comes to the table. So I think that the host should give out the meat because polite people don't take a large portion for themselves. So the host should be the one to give it out. The host will give him a nicer portion. Kimata levruche, amrule nivrich lanmar. Came time for blessing. They said, Rabbi Zer, why don't you bench? Amar lo svir le mar lehad Rav Huna d'min bavel d'amar botzeh mevarech. So he said, wait a second, didn't Rav Huna teach that the one who breaks the bread, he should be the one to bench? V'yukeman svir alei, and what were they thinking when they want to honor him with benching? Ki had amar Rav Yochanan, they went in line with what Rav Yochanan taught in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Who is Rabbi Yochanan? What do we know about Rabbi Yochanan? He was the chief rabbi of Israel. He compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. What else do we know about Rabbi Yochanan? He was a disciple of Rabbi Yanai. One of his students was Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan had 10 children, and they all perished in his lifetime. They all died unnatural deaths. His smallest son fell into a boiling vat in front of his eyes, and he saw the kid boil to death in front of his eyes. And in spite of all the pain he suffered, he still was able to maintain the academy, and he was a chief rabbi. He got his brother-in-law to come back to learn Torah, Reish Lakish. And then when Reish Lakish passed away, he went insane out of pain. He was so bothered that Reish Lakish passed away and that he didn't have a study partner, that the pain overtook him and he lost it. And then when they saw him in such sorrow, they prayed that he should pass away, and Rabbi Yochanan passed away too. So Rabbi Yochanan taught in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We all know Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is, right? Ba'al HaBayit Botzeh V'Orech Mevarech. He taught that the host should break the bread and the guest should bless. Ba'al HaBayit Botzeh Kadesh Yivtzeh Ba'in Yafah. The host breaks the bread so that he'll cut nice portions for everyone. V'Orech Mevarech Kadesh Yivarech Le'Ba'al HaBayit. And the guest, he should bench. He should lead the benching. Remember, in ancient times, only one person used to bench. He'd bench for everyone. He did the Zeman. He was the only one benching. So why do we honor the guest with benching? Because this way he will bless the host. Mai mevarech, what blessing does he give the host? The following blessing. And you'll see some benchers have it printed. This is a blessing that appears in the Shulchan Aruch. And some benchers have printed this inside. And when you're a guest, you should say this blessing. What do you say? Yehi ratzon, may it be the will before heaven, shelo yivosh ba'al habayit ba'olam hazeh, that the host should not be embarrassed in this world, v'lo yikalem la'olam haba, nor should he be shamed in the world to come. The Rebbe mosif badvarim, Rebbe would add the following, v'yatzliach mod b'chol nechasav, and he should be very successful in all his business, v'yu nechasav unchaseinu mutzachim ukrovim la'ir, and his business and our business should be successful and close to the city. If you have to own property, it shouldn't be out in Alaska, it shouldn't be out in Florida, it should be here in Jerusalem next to where you live. If you have to, if you own property, so it should be close to the city. You have to do business, it should be close to home. You shouldn't have to travel. That's part of the blessing. We bless the host. Val yishlot satan b'maasei adav u'maasei adenu, and the Satan shouldn't take hold of his business or our business. Val yizdakek lefanav v'lo lefaninu shum dvar hiruchet v'avera v'avon matav v'ad olam. Nor should any sin or thought of sin come to him or us from now forever. So that's an interesting blessing. We need to analyze that with more depth. Bezrat Hashem, that's where we'll pick up next week, an analysis of this blessing that we give the host. Now it's time for Alvit.